When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
I did it again. Trigger happy. Well, the weather is lovely, and the weather is going to be lovely, and it's going to be very warm, and I think that summarises all you need to know. Next week it changes. So enjoy it now. Simple. Now, coming up today, are you a Westlife fan? Bit of a treat in 15 minutes. The budget is taking shape, but a new 30% rate of income tax doesn't look likely. So in that case, what else are they going to promise you? And on That's Life with Brian Cunningham, Ivan Yates, broadcaster and former Fine Gael minister, he predicts the makeup of the next government. In fact, he is absolutely certain it'll turn out this way. That's from 11 to 12. Plus, the rights experts are here from 10:30. If you have a question for them, 0818 300 103 is my number. You can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103. As always, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. Front of the Irish Daily Star today, cost of living. You see people frolicking about on the beach, enjoying themselves. Two ladies in bikinis. Mrs. Faulkner's listening. They don't look well. And the main story, though, is about how the government has to slash the duty on alcohol to bring down the price of beer. Otherwise, there's going to be a huge clamour to Northern Ireland, where they don't have minimum unit pricing and the cost of buying alcohol is so much cheaper. Heatwave hits the pockets, it says. On the front of the Irish Times, coalition pledges tax package to benefit most workers. So, for instance, they're talking about on welfare alone an extra €15 per week. I presume that extends to the old age pension, but they're going to widen the tax bands. They're going to index tax to inflation as well, so that it improves every year. And this is all leaking out now. There was a new report out yesterday publishing options for tax changes and the pros and cons of different choices. And Pascal Donoghue and other ministers who have talked to the newspapers today suggest they favour broadening the tax bands rather than introducing this third 30% rate. Irish Independent fears cheap alcohol law will cut tax take as shoppers head north. Similar story to the one I mentioned a few minutes ago. There's a picture of a young girl in Kandahar in Afghanistan, and she now lives in Dublin. It's one of a number of very striking pictures on display at the Photo Museum of Ireland in Dublin. I didn't know we had a photo museum here in Ireland, did you? Anyway, apparently we do. Inside the Sun, and indeed in the Irish Daily Star, the plight of a pensioner here in the Midlands. Christy Gorman is 66 years of age. He's had a number of health problems. He's an inoffensive guy, doesn't have enemies that he knows of. And yet, his car was smashed with golf clubs. Attackers smashed every single window. And the problem for Christy is that he collects his pension in Edgeworthstown. His doctor is in Coole, in County Westmeath. He lives in Longford, and he's originally from Lismacaffrey. So he has reason to use his car quite a bit. He moves around and around and around. So obviously the Gorthy are trying to figure out what happened. This is 12:15 in the morning of Wednesday, August 3rd. No arrests have been made. Investigations are ongoing. But the poor sod, anyway, he's facing quite a bill to restore his car, and he doesn't have the money. So, thankfully, he's getting some publicity, which maybe will trigger somebody to report those involved, or at least to reach into their pocket and try and help him. Now, what else is in the newspapers this morning? The IRFU has said transgender women will not be allowed to compete against adult female rugby players. It issued a statement yesterday saying it will amend its gender participation policy for rugby in order to ensure fair competition and the safety of competitors. And as you can imagine, this has provoked strong responses on both sides of the argument. Those in the LGBT plus community would regard it as unfair for somebody who identifies as a woman to be excluded from a women's team. On the other hand, if somebody was born a man and has the physical traits, even if they don't identify as male, they have the advantages of maybe speed and strength and the other prowess physically that goes with a male body. So, yes, you can see the arguments. Which side of this would you come up down on? Is the IRFU right to exclude transgender women from participating in contact rugby? Now, elsewhere, Michael O'Leary says the days of the €1 flight, or even the €10 flight, are gone. You see, Ryanair had these promotional offers from time to time. And usually you had to be as quick as lightning to get in there, snap up the first couple of seats at that rate. But, nevertheless, they were genuine offers. You could get them. And he says, for the foreseeable future, the next couple of years, they will not be offered because of fuel prices. However, when you consider the average fare from Ryanair, he says it's around €40. And by 2027, it will rise to €50. So that's a 25% increase, but he reckons it'll happen over 5 years. So low-cost travel should still be relatively low-cost if all comes to pass, as he predicts. Across the water, the journal.ie reports Rishi Sunak is losing his advantage over Liz Truss among the UK public. These are the two in the race to replace Boris Johnson. It will be the Conservative Party membership who decide, by the way, rather than the British public. And Ms. Truss has the advantage among the membership. But it appears from the latest polling, she's becoming more popular among the public and Rishi Sunak is going in the other direction. His popularity, when asked would he make a good Prime Minister, fell from 38% to 32% in the last week of July. Liz Truss is going to win the race. It is nearly a foregone conclusion at this stage. In America, Donald Trump is refusing to answer questions under oath about fraud allegations. Now, it's about his Trump Organization, which is accused of misstating the value of hotels, of his golf clubs, of other assets to mislead lenders and tax authorities. And what's ironic here, you will remember Donald Trump once said, if you're innocent, why do you take the Fifth Amendment? That is where you stay silent in order not to incriminate yourself. So that is being thrown back at him, that particular quote, when now he's unwilling to speak. Disney, for the first time, has surpassed Netflix for the total number of subscribers, which is quite an achievement considering Disney Plus is only a wet week old and Netflix has been around for years. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure what is on Disney Plus if you don't have kids. Yes, the Star Wars franchise is owned by Disney. Beyond that, and yeah, there's National Geographic as well, but still. This is the problem with streaming. You end up having to buy different packages just to watch your favourite programmes because they're not all under one roof. Which is why some people get dodgy boxes. But we're not going to talk about that. Heat wave. Highest August temperature in almost 20 years was recorded yesterday. 29.2 degrees. In Oak Park, if you're curious. So it's very warm in Carlow and they expect it'll be even warmer today. So enjoy. And if you have a recommendation, please let me know. Something to do. Something that's on. Something that needs more people at it. Finally, homeschooling. Yes, that just sent a shudder down the spine of many parents who recall, or maybe have gone to counselling to block it out, the horror of the COVID lockdowns and having the kids homeschooled or attempting to be homeschooled. Well, some people enjoyed it so much, they've kept it up, including a family from County Offaly. The Irish Independent introduces you to Liz and Fintan Conway. They homeschool 9-year-old Aisling. They did so all through the pandemic. And while some found it extremely difficult, they enjoyed it. Her daddy had just finished cancer clinical trials. And as the pandemic began, they had to shield immediately. He was immunocompromised. So they took out the books. They put in full days of homeschooling. And they managed to get some good support as well, which is always important. Hen Homeschool Network, H-E-N. And as well as that, premiertuition.ie, which is an online school based in Limerick. So according to Liz, all of these resources were really, really useful. Apparently, Aisling always struggled in school. She has a speech impediment. And so by taking the pressure off her, the curriculum could be tailored to suit her needs, and it really, really worked. So, Bula Bus, well done. It's not for everybody, homeschooling. Certainly, no, it didn't work too well in my house. But if you're able for it, fair play. All this week, the sports partnerships in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath are holding events to try and encourage more women to participate in sport. So we've got a fantastic idea for you. If you are brave enough to go out on the water. That's in around 20 minutes' time. Next, a treat, a big treat and a big opportunity if you're a Westlife fan. Deirdre Ford, our friend from Cayla Medical in Athlone. Dr. D, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
Wasn't expecting a call from you about Westlife.
I'm so sad listening to all that music and I won't be there.
Yeah, but this is tragic. I mean, you were meant to be there.
I was. I bought the tickets 2 years ago for myself for my special birthday. And then the premium ones, the platinum ones, they're the VIP tickets. They cost me €200 each. I've got two tickets and I'm after breaking my ankle.
How did you manage that?
When I was talking to you the other day, Will, I was heading straight after that to the A&E in Galway because I wasn't able to wait there. I think I went over on my ankle after being at a funeral on Sunday, never thinking I did anything.
Oh, no. And so it was only after the event you felt the effects of it?
It was only after it. It was, I had pain on Sunday night in bed. Monday morning, I couldn't wait there. Tuesday, I wasn't able to walk at all. So after speaking to you on Tuesday morning, I went to the A&E. And here I am now, and I can't go to Westlife.
Hang on, why can't you... Like, how far of a distance would you have to walk?
There is no drop-off within 30 minutes walk off Porkycreeve. Even taxis can only go so far, and you'd certainly have a 20 to 30 minute walk.
Oh no. About trying to hobble maybe directly outside and into Parkycreave, you're not going to manage a half an hour walk. Oh no. And who was meant to go with you?
So my best friend Ger from Galway, she has been living in Saudi Arabia for a long time and she's home now about a year, so she was coming with me.
Why Westlife, by the way, for a significant birthday?
I was watching The Late Late Show that particular night 2 years ago, and they had announced that they were having a tour. So I went on Ticketmaster immediately. I just love their music, and I just love everything about them. And Mark, and you know, he was telling his story about getting married and his young child and that. And I said, I just want to meet these guys, you know, and I just want to be there.
Ah, dear Jim. I'm so sorry because 2 years in the making, you're less than a week away from it and this happens. You must be beside yourself in frustration.
I am devastated. But in saying that, I want to give my tickets away.
Ah, so don't let the tickets go to waste.
Yeah. So I want to give them away for the gig in Portiquise this Saturday. And they're really good tickets. They're row J, which is quite near the front. And it's in the VIP setting. So I want to give them away to a good poem to somebody who has never been able to get to Westlife or couldn't afford it or whatever. I just want to give these away.
Okay, so if you're listening to the show, and if that's you, or if it's somebody you know, a diehard fan, this would be, you said these are premium tickets. These are not just the ordinary run-of-the-mill tickets. And they're worth how much?
€200 each.
And do you want £200 for them?
No, I don't want anything for them. They're free.
Wow. Deirdre, that's, whatever about a broken ankle, you've got a big heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Will. So I'm going to let you, Will, and Sinead decide who gets the tickets, and you can contact me after that and I can do the transfer.
We will. We will. Ah, Deirdre, look, I hope we get something for you as well. Maybe there's somebody listening who has a treat in store for you to try and offset this disappointment. When is the birthday, or has the birthday passed?
My big birthday was, my big birthday, I was 62 years ago, so my birthday recently again was the bank holiday weekend, just gone.
Oh. All right. Deirdre, take care. I hope that ankle heals up.
Thank you, Will. Thank
Mind
you.
Yourself.
And I look forward to getting these tickets to somebody.
Thank you, Deirdre. Deirdre Ford, who is the GP at Kayla Medical in Athlone. So, give us a call. 0818 300 103. But this is going to somebody who really deserves it, who really wants it, who maybe hasn't been at a Westlife concert before and would dearly love to go. So call Sinead and tell her why that might be you or somebody you know. After 10, different options for the budget. For instance, if the government was to introduce a 30% rate of income tax, we'd have three of them then. So this would be the middle band. Then the average couple would save €1,000 per year. This is according to tax strategy papers published yesterday. But ministers seemingly don't want to introduce this third rate of tax. They want to take other measures instead, which we'll be looking at. All of it, apparently, will put a lot of money back in your pocket. These are the promises being made. For instance, welfare. €15 per week of an increase being talked about. They might even settle on more than that. So the expectations are building up and up and up, and it'll be the 27th of September when Pascal Donoghue has to deliver. All this week, the sports partnerships in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath are holding events to boost the participation of women in sport and outdoor activity. Her Outdoors Week looks beyond traditional team sports and offers you free taster sessions in everything from archery to boxercise. Yoga is in there. Line dancing is in there. Offaly Sports Partnership has even been holding a week of kayaking classes. So we sent Midlands 103's Ellen Butler out into the water.
My name is Denise Coggle. I'm the Community Sports Development Officer with Offaly Sports Partnership. We're down in the canal in Belmount, so we're just off the bridge. We just after coming off a kayaking session. It's part of the Sport Ireland initiative for her outdoors. It's where we're trying to get females out into the open, so the women had the priority, and then any extra kayaks that was there, we let the boys join in as well.
Tell me a little bit more about the Her Outdoors campaign. Why did you feel it was important to actually, you know, hold this week of events?
I think what's the thinking behind it is that you generally tend to lose females as they get older. So as they move into their teenage years, they come out of sport. Even if they're playing sport, they tend to drop off a lot sooner than the boys and then the males. So, and then that's run through into adulthood. Probably less females participating in physical activity than there would be their male counterparts. So I suppose what they're trying to do is target them, have initiatives going so that women know that there is stuff that they can do, particularly within the outdoors. For women who are at home, women who are working, that, you know, that something like this is on their doorstep, it's not going to take them too long to travel to it, to come back, so they can take an hour out of their day to come down a bit of kayak and do something for themselves.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I want you to get back to your boat. I want you to move your boat to the grass, just to the edge of the grass before you get into it.
Can I ask why you came here today? Is it often you get the chance to go kayaking?
No.
And are you nervous about you're about to go in?
Oh yeah.
Are you excited?
I'm going to be eaten by a fish.
I don't know how likely that is now in the canal in Belmont. Hopefully not. What kind of response have you gotten in general then from your week of events?
Oh, absolutely huge. I had 28 participants in the first session in Shannon Bridge yesterday, and then there was over 20 in the second session. So we had to split it then because obviously we didn't have enough kayaks, and we were doing canoes out there as well yesterday. So there's been a huge amount of inquiries. There's been an awful lot of shares on our Facebook page. So there's a big interest in it.
Because it's not just this week, of course. You've got programmes running throughout the year.
Oh, running throughout the year, yeah. So over the summer, I would have focused a lot on teenagers. So we had multi-sport camps, we had rounders tournaments, different things that I thought that they wanted. Once they go back to school, then we'll branch into the older adult activities and even the activities for the adults, you know, the walking football and different things like that. So we do put on stuff during the school term for your 30 to 55 year old and then 55 year old plus.
Yeah, and I know you're going to be biased now with this question, but do you think it is, you know, having a meaningful impact in terms of getting more people involved?
I think so, yeah, because I try and put on a broad range of stuff. I hope that the idea behind it is if you put on enough different things, something will catch somebody's eye, and you know, then it's to try and sustain that then, so then you're trying to push them into a club to show them where they can follow through with it once they've got a taste for it, the different physical activities, because no more than the children who are not all into football or not all into hurling, there is other activities for them. So I tend to try and do that with the adults and the older adults as well. You know, especially the older adults, you get a lot of, I've got a hip replacement, I've got a knee replacement, I've got arthritis, I can't do any of that. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff that we can do with people who, regardless of what their issues are, I suppose, or their lack of mobility comes in.
And
you know,
of course, the medium is sport, but I'm sure there's plenty of other benefits just in terms of getting out, socialising, just to have that outlet. And even like I did a bit of kayaking here myself, and it's so relaxing just being out in the water and kind of shutting out the world. And you know, it seems like there's more to it than just the activity itself.
There is, of course, yeah. And like the typical response to that would be the older adults, where they the first thing I have to do is have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some biscuits for them. So, you know, where they stop in the middle of it and they have their social activity, they have their chat, and they, you know, even beforehand sometimes when they're waiting. Do you know, we had a great group going here, activities for mothers once they dropped off their children in the mornings, the mothers that were still at home. As soon as they went to the school, dropped the kids off. Then we were playing basketball, we done tag rugby, we done badminton, volleyball, and out of that they liked the basketball and the tag rugby. So then we done another 8-week program in basketball. So the progression from that was to set up a club then, a kind of a social badminton, a basketball club. No more than the walking football, the more clubs and teams that I can get going, that then we can set up a league.
Yeah.
And that's when things are going to be sustained. So that's the idea.
Long term. Did you have a good time kayaking?
It was class.
Did you go back again?
A million times.
What was your favourite part of it?
Falling off.
When you get to tip over.
That's your favourite part? And you get all wet?
Yeah.
Popped up on my Facebook feed and I had been looking for something to do with my boys that would bring my love of water and the outdoors together, that we could do together.
So you killed a few birds, I'd say, with this.
Yeah,
stone.
We killed a few birds. Yeah, it's local. I mean, we're from Dunkern. So we're awfully, although this fella here would like to think he's Tip.
Depends who's playing on the day.
We have twins here, and awfully and Tip in the one house. But so it's not that far. We had been in Doolin recently and we were a lot of water. We were doing a lot of water things. I was just like, what can I do locally that involves the water?
Yeah.
So yesterday we were in Shannon Bridge. We did the canoeing.
Fantastic.
And today we're here.
And we're doing the kayaking today, yeah.
Yep,
so you were bitten by the bug.
Bitten by the bug, literally. I think there was a few horse fights involved too. But yeah.
And how did you find it?
It was great fun. Really felt like a bit nervous getting in. I was like, how do we get in? Because I have
lots of surgery. So how do I get in? How do I get out? But once I'm in, it was amazing.
Mm.
And everybody was so supportive, the crack and the cheering and the good fun. And of course, the sunshine also helps.
Yeah, it's probably the kind of thing. Obviously, there's a lot of gear involved with the kayaks and that, but you probably wouldn't come down and do it yourself. It's probably great to have an event like this, an organizer to structure.
When you come to something like that and you just turn up, I mean, really, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Great to see the waterways being used, Midlands, and great to see people turning up for it.
Do you find that, do you know, women who have kids have busy lives kind of tend to check out of those sort of extracurricular activities?
Maybe, not that there's a crazy amount of risk in this, but, you know, it's new and you're like, but what is it going to be like? And the kids are naturally brilliant at it because they're young.
Yeah.
So I just decided maybe we'd be brave together.
Yeah.
Bite the bullet.
So thank you very much, everybody, and very well done.
Thank
really
you
impressed.
Much. Yeah, thank you.
And that report by Midlands 103's Ellen Butler. Something strange about the front of the newspapers this morning. There are two national papers leading with the cost of beer and how the government may reduce duty on alcohol in the budget. So that is the priority. You know, food and fuel and so many other essentials are spiralling out of all-reaching cost, and beer is on the front of two national newspapers. Strange priorities. Strange priorities indeed. Now, the Anbrook Hotel in Mullingar has become a place of refuge for 20 people displaced from Ukraine. And one of them is Victoria Herska, who's originally from Kyiv, but has come to live in Ireland since May. She's been sharing her experiences so far with Midlands 103's Cameron Clark.
I'm from the central part of Ukraine, which is Kyiv, Kyiv region. And I live near Kyiv, like 50 minutes drive to Kyiv. And on the first day of war, which was like when it all started on the 24th of February, I was the one of the first Ukrainians who saw the Russian aircraft just transpassing our border and flying to Kyiv. That was a horrible image I still have in my mind, basically. So I didn't, I didn't thought that I would need to evacuate my home or my flat, you know. It wasn't thought back then, but like maybe in 2 or 3 weeks I began to having like panic attacks and etc, which like now is pretty common to a lot of Ukrainians. So we don't have like a nice mental space now, so and mental health is pretty much not in a good shape, a lot of us. And then I decided to go basically evacuated to the western part of Ukraine, which back then we were thinking that it would be like more or safer. If you, it's not the safe place, but it's safer than western part or even on the eastern part of central part. And I was there. I like book a flat and etc. And lived with my family. We lived there for like maybe 3 or 4 weeks, basically a month. And after that we decided, money was running short and etc. We decided to go back home because we thought that, maybe now it will be like more local conflict, not like war. I don't know why we were having these thoughts, but we just having thoughts. And basically we traveled back home, but when we traveled back to Kyiv, I started to have another panic attacks. There were a lot of sirens and it was really hard mentally. And that's why I decided, and a couple of my friends back there, it was May. So a couple of my friends have already evacuated the country, and they were in Germany and Italy and in Ireland. And this girl, my pal, basically girl pal, told me about the Ireland and about the program for Ukraine. And I decided it was like 1 minute decision, basically, to just flip over all of my life and come here.
And when did you come to Ireland, if we're looking at a timeline?
On the 8th of May.
8th of May. Yes. So you've been here nearly three months now. And how are you finding it?
I believe, lucky to find a group in Dublin City West, which is like first facility when you like when they handle your case as a Ukrainian, and they group me, like pair up me with wonderful people from another regions of Ukraine, and you know, like it was nice to have somebody you can talk to about the situation and somebody you just live this experience with. So that's why it was nice, and we were lucky again that at Dublin City West they proposed to us this accommodation, which is Annabrook House Hotel in Mullingar. I believe, and I actually know, but I can tell it, you know, like for Mike, but I believe we have like the nicest facility and the nicest conditions here, because not a lot of Ukrainians now have an opportunity. Ireland is like not so big country maybe for us, and that's why not a lot of Ukrainians have opportunity to live in a, like, you know, 4-star accommodation with meals prepared, with cleaning, with etc. So pretty much, yeah, it was like, I believe, you know, like we have a pretty great deal here, and we have a support group here as well. And every Irish person we met was wonderful, as Bertie here. Yeah, you know, like they all, I don't know, maybe. We didn't know, I didn't know definitely when I traveled back here in May that, you know, we actually share a similar story with Irish people, you know, because you also have, or maybe even has now, an oppressor who oppressed your country. You have like this national vibe or nationalism even in you that you, or, I don't know, like thinking of the separation, etc., to be basically independent, and to, you know, that's the same story we share now as Ukrainians. We want our freedom back, and we love our freedom, so that's why.
And how do you keep yourself occupied while you've been in Mullingar, Victoria? Have you found work?
Not still, but I'm doing a lot of volunteer stuff. I applied for a couple of them, but it's not going as I was expected, but still I do a lot of volunteer stuff. Volunteering, I have a pretty nice language level, I believe, of English, so that's why I try to keep myself busy. Basically, I'm a translator for every Ukrainian in need who need to translate something, to go some places. I'm a translator for a lot of hospitals here for Ukrainian when they come to the doctor appointments, etc. When they need to go to the intro to do some, you know, to apply for something, to sign up some, fill up some forms. So basically it's what I do now. Yeah.
Victoria Hurska, who now lives in Annabrook Hotel in Mullingar. Speaking there with Midlands 103's Cameron Clark. Good morning. And still to talk about today, broadcaster and former minister Ivan Yates predicts the makeup of the next government. Does the boss decide when you take holidays, or do you? The rights expert is here in half an hour. And Electric Picnic is sold out for County Laois, but I know how you can get some tickets. And if you hang around, I'll tell you. First, how would you benefit from a third rate of income tax? The government has published tax strategy papers, and it looks at a number of options, not just this one, but for argument's sake, if the band was from €36,800 to €46,800 and the tax was 30%, the number crunchers believe you would save €1,000 per year as an individual. But how difficult is it to go from 2 tax rates to 3 tax rates? Well, let's pick the brain of John McCann from MCM Accounting in Tullamore. John, good morning.
Good morning, young Will. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent.
What do you make of this idea?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, I suppose what people have to do is they kind of have to understand the tax system a little bit. It is a very complex tool in terms of, well, I suppose it does 3 major things. It is obviously a means of collecting money to pay for our central services. It is also a means of redistributing some of the wealth from the more wealthy people to the less wealthy people in our society, and trying to even out their status in life. And the other thing that it does is it's designed to alter behaviour or drive behaviour from a political point of view from one direction to another. For example, you take the corporation tax regime, which is quite light. It's very attractive. There's lots of incentives to work hard and build up money in your company. Our current regime, I would say, in terms of income tax, is not the toughest in Europe by a long stretch. And if we do the comparatives, there are the likes of Germany, Denmark, Romania are extremely tough, particularly Belgium as well, in terms of income tax. But there isn't a great incentive to say, you know what, I'll do a couple more extra hours to earn a little bit more money, because if I'm going to lose 51% of it, there's just isn't the incentive. So I think this is a very positive move. I think it's a good thing to do.
But if your political objective is to try and put money in the pockets of those who are least well off, a third rate of income tax isn't really going to benefit them.
No, it's not. But if you look at again the comparison, around Europe, and if you look at our own figures, something like 75% of the taxpayers of the income tax take, something like 75% of the taxpayers contribute about 18% of the income tax take, and if you take a look at the level of income tax that they're paying now, income tax would include USC, PRSI, all those taxes. The Irish burden on the low to average earner is actually quite low. So, you know, the people that you really have to help are those people who are paying tax at the higher rate. There's simply no incentive to work. And because, again, we have what we say a generous welfare system now, there'll be people who might argue that certain aspects it's not particularly fair. As a general rule, our welfare system is very good. And I think we've seen how it behaved during the pandemic. And the trade-off is there that you've got to incentivize people to work as against not work. And when you've got a reasonably good welfare system, there's that compromise the whole time. So, you know, the people that are really hurt here are the people on anything above. And it seems like a lot of money, €707 for a single person, or €880 for a married couple. And it seems a lot of money, but in today's, I suppose,
cost, it'll disappear quite quickly. Yeah, indeed.
It gets gobbled up very quickly.
Let me put a different point of view to you. So three rates of income tax for an accountant, that's great because you're good with numbers. Is there more than one way to skin the cat? Why not just keep two rates, but increase the threshold at which you enter the higher one? Would it have the same effect?
Well, that's one that has been put around, but these guys in the Department of Finance, they're quite what we might call cute whores. They didn't even know how to manage figures better than we do. And I think to do that, it may just cost too much money to do it on a carte blanche, altering the entry levels. And by doing, let's say two or three thousand, it may not have the same effect. This is a significant jump to give the benefit, to give €1,000 back. Now, it's important also to understand people are blaming the government for inflation. The government are not responsible for inflation. They may very well be benefiting somewhat from inflation in terms of diesel and petrol and the various charges. But, you know, they haven't caused this. And I think so I think that needs to be put to one side. Okay, they can certainly take measures that will help people and certainly those on lower earnings, but they've still got to give the incentive to work. And I think this is a very good means of doing it. I don't think changing the bans or increasing the credits would have such an immediate effect without costing the state too much money.
Mm. How difficult would it be from a payroll perspective, just all the architecture that goes into the tax system, to go from two bans, or two rates rather, to three?
Well, I suppose if you look at the PAYE system, it's quite complicated as it stands. For example, if you just look at the PRSI system, that is an absolute nightmare to sit down and understand. The PAYE system is relatively straightforward. So it's all computerized. And I think if people know, right, once I'm going to go above 707, if I'm a single person, I'm going to, instead of paying 20%, I'm going to pay 30%. And I think we become very used to it. And at least they can say, well, look, from this range, there's an incentive for me to work. Because it's not just the income tax. Income tax is 30%, but you've also USC, you've also PRSI, and that can account for, depending on your place, that can account for another, 8 or 9%, even 10%. And the other thing that they're talking about is maybe doing something at the very top level where there's a surcharge, it's effectively 11% surcharge. If your non-PAYE income is over 100,000, I think that's absolutely disgraceful. It is discrimination of the highest order against the self-employed people who are not running their business through a limited company. And how they got that through is just quite beyond me.
So just to clarify, because in case somebody thinks you're in support of high earners, carte blanche, it's just the self-employed to which this restriction applies?
It's the self-employed that are not being paid through a limited company.
Right.
So, for example, if I'm working for a limited company and I'm self-employed in that manner, I own the company, and my salary is 100,000 or 100,000 and above, I would pay whatever the peer aside, the USC rate, I think it's 8%. But if I'm operating as a sole trader, doing exactly the same thing, and once I go, my profit goes above, or my earnings, my net earnings go above 100,000, I pay 11%. Now, that's just fundamentally wrong. You know, and again, I'm just getting back to the whole point of just incentivizing people to work. And that's a really, really important. That's how we're going to get out of this mess, or how we're going to get through it.
How do you read the political mood music about this third rate of tax? Because judging by some of the morning papers, while it is a possibility, and Leo Varadkar is one of the more senior people who is promoting it, the chances of it happening this year would appear slim.
I think there are a lot of other problems. If we really want to be honest, I think where they probably need to, and again, it's about the incentive to work, which is a big buzz for me as a self-employed person, is that I think they should really be looking at childcare. Childcare is the biggest disincentive for any woman to go out and work. And people can say it's a family thing, isn't it? It's a woman thing, and because when a child is not well, or a child, it always goes to its mammy. So the big incentive here, I think, has to be to get our ladies out that. If you're paying childcare, there should be a balance between tax relief and supporting the childcare business, because the childcare business generally is not well paid, it's not profitable. So you're going to need government supports there. But I think the other side of it is you might give tax breaks at the top rate of tax for a certain portion of your childcare costs. I think that would be much better for the general working public, and tax and that sort of thing is relative. And maybe just bring this, should it be the tax relief be against your USC and your PRSI and your income tax? So it would mean that the average working family is going to benefit and they'll be incentivized to work.
It appears it's going to be a complex budget. They're even talking about different... they're talking as well about tax incentives for landlords, separate tax incentives for tenants. It's going to be a big and a complicated budget, and we will be talking, no doubt, closer to the time. John McCann from MCM Accounting in Tullamore, thank you.
Thanks very much, Will.
Time now, coming up on 20 past 10. Do you support a third rate of income tax? Call it an intermediate rate. You've got your entry level and you've got your higher level. Well, now there may be a 30% rate of tax, intermediate tax. Do you support that, or would it mean very little to you? Hilda says, the math of three tax bands is easy. And as for getting €45,000 plus per year outside of Dublin, not so many people getting that money, she believes. Also, we have record levels of employment, so incentives to work don't appear to be the problem. 083 3010 103, text and WhatsApp, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. Now, on to something a little more cheerful, because Electric Picnic is not too far away and we're all very excited to see it back, finally, after the disappointment of 2020 and then the disappointment of 2021. COVID is in the rearview mirror and the problem now is you might not have tickets. Is there a solution? I want you to meet Emer Considine, who is from County Clare, an ambassador with the National Dairy Council, and if you're a rugby supporter, you know exactly who Emer is. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Tell us what you are planning to do in the run-up to Electric Picnic.
So, like you said, tickets are very, very hard to get. It's actually sold out this year. And this year, for the National Dairy Council, there is the Tour de Picnic, which is your best way to earn a ticket.
The Tour de Picnic? So not the Tour de France, Tour de Picnic.
I don't think it would be as challenging as the Tour de France, but there's definitely a pot of gold at the end of it. If you can get your tour, you can get your Electric Picnic ticket out of it.
What's the physical challenge involved?
So it's a charity fundraiser. You raise money for three charities, and the charities this year are Laura Lynn's Children's Hospice, the Ronald McDonald House, and ISPCC Childline. And each participant has to raise €450 and then take on the challenge of the actual Tour de Picnic, which is an 80K cycle or a 17K run. However, the run slots are booked up, so your only way in at the moment is by participating in the 80K cycle.
Now, that's fine if you're a rugby player, if you're physically fit and you've, I suppose, you're accustomed to it. If you're less practiced, what advice can you bring?
Well, I suppose it's not a race. So at the end of the day, you can go at your own pace. You can take your time, enjoy the scenery. Hopefully it's a day like today where the weather's good and you can take your time in the sunshine. You're dropped off. All the participants are brought to a location, 80K from Electric Picnic, and you're brought to the starting point on the bus together. So there's great fun and enjoyment with the rest of the participants, and then off you go on your cycle. So it's not a race, which is the main thing, the first thing. So you can go at your own pace. So it's not for the Tour de France participants or the elite athletes. Mm. It's for everybody. So at this stage, you know, it's in a few weeks' time, but your training should have commenced, or you can start your training. There's still time to start your training and take it bit by bit, you know, 10K, 20K, get out whenever you can and just enjoy it. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's for a great cause, and also you get the tickets at the end of it.
Now, the hills around Stradbally, I'm thinking particularly of the Cut, they're quite challenging. And if you draw a line 80 kilometres and 80 kilometre radius, you've got a few undulating hills there. And how difficult is this route going to be?
Well, I'm sure it will be, but there'll be nice dairy snacks along the way. There'll be some smoothies. There'll be some fuel stops for the athletes so they can refuel and get some energy along with some water.
So that's important.
You know, you'll get fed before the race when the athletes meet and assemble with some yogurt and fruits and porridge to help you along the way to fuel you properly. And then along the way there's some pit stops, and then when you compete it, there's some sandwiches and burgers, and so there's like a little incentive to get there nice and quickly as well when you do feel like the going is getting tough along those hills on the way to Stradbally.
And besides, the prize at the end is worth it, to go to Electric Picnic, to be able to enjoy it over the 3 days. And how does this work then as far as getting the golden ticket?
So you go to tourdepicnic.ie to find a register link, and once you reach your fundraising goal on your own profile, so you set up your own profile, which is givetogo.com, you then bring that ticket to the registration in Tallaght Stadium the morning of the picnic, where you receive your event on your registration pack. You complete your 80K cycle, you complete your fundraising, and then you arrive in Stradbally ready to go for a weekend of celebrations at the Electric Picnic.
Super. What are you looking forward to at the picnic, Eimear?
Oh, I just can't wait for it to be back again. Like this, like you said at the start, it hasn't been on in 2 years. So I think just to be back and enjoying it again, you know, it was off. It's the 12th year of the Tour de Picnic, but it hasn't been on in 2 years' time, in 2 years. So just to have everyone back and crowds and enjoying music again.
Well, I'll be there. I hope to see you there. I hope to see some sweaty people coming in on their bikes as well, having raised lots of money for great causes. And again, givetogo.com. Bit of a strange spelling. G-I-V, the number two, go.com. Givetogo.com. That's where you go and sign up. Eimear Considine, thank you for taking our call.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Goodbye.
And by the way, the National Dairy Council might have dropped some tickets off here at Midlands 103. And they could be heading to you, but I'll tell you more about that a little later. After 11, Ivan Yates, the broadcaster and former minister, predicts the makeup of the next government. And we'll have a listen and see, do you think he's right? Or is he way off the mark? First, though, your rights and entitlements, and lots of questions for Tom Walsh, who was our expert today from the Tullamore Citizens Information Centre. Very summery looking.
Thank you very much, Will. I put it on specially for you.
Yes. The Lycra is a bit age inappropriate, isn't
well,
it?
Well, you know me. I just like to push the boat.
Yes, we see a lot of you anyway. Kira is first up in Portlaoise, and she's working part-time. Her boss has refused her holidays. She says she has asked for several days off, but all have been denied. And she's wondering, can he do that?
Well, I suppose we start off with annual leave is covered under the Organisation of Working Time Act 1997. And what that says is that everybody who is in paid employment, whether full-time, part-time, casual, whatever it is, they're entitled to annual leave. So that's the bottom line of it. Second thing I may say to her is, has she got a contract of employment? And the contract of employment will say how much leave she's entitled to. Not just that she is, but how much.
But there is a minimum required there under
is,
law.
There is. 8% of hours worked if you're part-time. So if you work 80 hours, then it's, you know, it's 8% of that, which is whatever it is, 10 hours, isn't it? I'm good at that, yes. I tried to work it out that it's easier to work out of my head.
Yes, I think maybe, hours. I think what you meant to say is if you work 100 hours,
yes,
then you would get 8 hours.
Yes, that's something like that.
8%.
The sunshine has confused me.
No, the
brain.
Lycra's just too tight. That's it's cutting off blood flow.
That's right. So that's the basics of it. Now, there are certain provisos under it. First of all, it has to be an agreement with the employer when you take it. Just can't rock up and say, I'm taking tomorrow off or whatever.
So this may be where there's some dispute.
I think this is what it is. So generally what it is within a month of you wanting to take the holidays, if you sit down and discuss it with the employer, look, I need to take off 4 days. It's the child's anniversary or the wedding anniversary or whatever it is, you know, and I'm going to be taking it in a month's time. Generally, that's the way it works out. Sometimes it might work out that the employer will say, well, look, actually, that's our very busy weekend because the Tullamore show is on that weekend and we're very busy, so we can't afford to let you go. But generally,
what happens in that circumstance?
It should be done with consent with both parties. If it's not done, then she has redress to law. She has the Workplace Relations Commission. If he's just saying, I'm not giving you any holidays and I know you're entitled to it, but I'm not giving it to you because I can't afford the time off or I can't do this, or that. There's no excuse that she's not entitled to it. So yes, she's entitled to it, definitely.
If, let's say, she's saying, I need the week coming up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And let's say she's in retail and the shop is going to be absolutely out the door busy.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I won't be able to get any replacement staff. You cannot have Christmas week.
Yes.
And but you can have the week after.
It. Exactly. That's it. Once he gives her annual leave, because the law recognises that there are certain times of the year. So you would be entitled to summer holidays during the summer. They can't turn around and say, you're never getting a summer holiday during the summer. You're only going to take them in the winter. You know, they can't do that either. It had always got to be a bit of a to and fro between the two of them. But the bottom line of it is she's entitled to holidays. Definitely she's entitled to holidays.
Just not necessarily to pick when.
Exactly. But I say most employers. And I say, if she sits down and talks to them, I mean, if she's just asked, I mean, just by the question, she's just asked him for several days off and he's just said no. Well, maybe he has a reason for saying it. So I said, I'd go back and talk to him and see what the story is with that.
John in Westmeath says he was banned from driving and the ban is coming to an end in 6 months' time. But he's not clear whether he needs to resit his driving test, which he dreads, or will he get his licence back automatically?
Yeah, what has happened is the licence has gone into suspension as such. So it's still there, although it's suspended. So with a suspension, it means it's just going to be reactivated at the end of his banned period. When I read the question, I got two sort of questions out of it. That's the first one. If he's willing to wait until the end of his 6 months, and then he just applies to the NDLS and gets it back. If he wants to get it back before the 6 months is out, he can apply to the court and he makes an application to the district court. It costs them €55 to get it back sooner. And they may say that, yes, generally they will look at that favourably, depending on his circumstances. Now, obviously, if he has a history of being banned, they're not going to say that. But generally, on a once-off, they will look at it favourably. So if he wants...
Does he have to put in an argument to say, well, I need it for such a reason?
They generally do, yeah. But most people need licences, particularly in the rural area, you know, that we need a licence for it. So that's the way I was looking at two questions really in one. If he's willing to wait till the end of the 6 months, he doesn't need to apply. If he wants to do it earlier, then he applies to the district court.
I wonder, John, how much your insurance will be. They always have those questions at the end. Have you ever been banned?
Yes.
I wonder what impact it has.
Yes.
Paul in Eden Derry is living in rented accommodation. And he says there was a leak in the ensuite. The landlord has fixed it, but is refusing to put down new carpet in the bedroom, despite it having watermarks from the leak. He's wondering who's right on this.
Well, the landlord has a legal duty on minimum standards. And to be honest with you, I don't think a new carpet is minimum standards. Minimum standards are, you know, there's got to be windows, there's got to be ventilation, there's got to be hot and cold water, there's got to be no leaks, there's got to be no dampness, things like that. My suggestion would be that he goes back to the landlord and discusses the landlord regarding getting the carpet cleaned. You know, it might be a simple job. Now, I don't know how bad the carpet is.
Yeah. Whether it was, for instance, it was black with mould, yes, and it's a health hazard. And
then it would need to be replaced because of the health hazard. So the landlord would be required to replace it on that. But if it's just for aesthetics, maybe just a cleaning job would do with the landlord. But the minimum standards will cover just, like as you said there, mould and things like that. But it won't cover aesthetics.
Next, Niall has been working full-time for 12 months. When he joined the company, he was told he would get a pay rise after 1 year. Now the boss says, sorry, can't afford it.
Yeah.
Is it legal?
Well, again, it comes back to, like, the first question, the contract. What does your contract say? If your contract says that you are going to get a rise after 12 months, and even then, even if it's written into the contract, if the employer has a legitimate reason for not paying it, because business is so poor, I was expecting business to pick up, it didn't pick up, so the employer could have an out on it.
Very often these tend to be said verbally.
Yes, yes, it is. What they used to call in their retail trade an enticement to treat, you know, where they get you in and then you realise, no, it's not what they actually, you know. So that's the way I sit down with the employer again, and if there's a genuine reason for it. If there's no genuine reason for it, then he has recourse again to the WRC. And the WRC, it's a very simple form to fill in online, or he can come into one of the centres and we'll help him deal with that.
The only thing is, bear in mind, if you want to keep working there, it may sour relations. You might be absolutely in the right.
That's it. It depends, you know.
It's a calculation.
Yeah, these are the things that you've got to sit down yourself and think about. You know, what is the implications for it?
And the other thing is, remember, there are companies crying out for staff. You may well get a better offer elsewhere.
That's it. And I'd say that's what my always suggestion to people is, sit down with the employer or whoever you have the dispute with first and foremost and ask, look, well, why? You told me I was going to get a 10% rise or a 2% rise, whatever it is. You told me that and now you're saying you're not getting it. Is there a reason, or is it just you just don't like me or whatever, you know?
My performance isn't up to scratch, etc. Yeah, try and tease it out. Good advice. Una has been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and is on a very strict diet, which is more expensive. And she's on a disability payment at the moment and is trying to make ends meet. Is there anything else she might be able to claim?
Yes, she should apply for the long-term illness scheme. And that covers all the medications. Unfortunately, there's nothing there to help her with the price of the food. And it is, diabetic food is more expensive. But unfortunately, there's nothing there in the system to help her with the day-to-day costs of it. There is, as far as medications and procedures and things like that are concerned. Now, if she is, you know, and she's on a disability payment, if she is finding it a struggle for certain things, you know, like bills or things like that, then she can apply to the community welfare officer for the exceptional needs payment. But the day-to-day cost of the food, no. But she should definitely apply for the long-term illness scheme.
083 3010 103, that is the text or WhatsApp number. For more questions, we have Tom until 11, so please feel free to pick his brain. One lady asking, is Tom Walsh really in Lycra? Yes, pink with yellow spots. Tom Walsh is here from the Tullamore Citizens Information Centre. Now, Benny has the next query. Benny owns his own home. He's in his late 60s. There's a major leak in his roof. And the problem is he doesn't have any savings. He also lives on his own, so there's nobody else in the household he can take a loan from. He's wondering if there is any grant that might repair his roof. His only income is the state pension.
Good news, yes.
Oh.
There is definitely a grant available for this. The local authority, the Housing Aid for Older People grant. It's for essential repairs to improve the condition of an older person's home. It covers repairing or replacing the roof.
Nice one.
Yes, it covers a lot of other things, upgrading the electrical wiring and other things like that. But definitely, it specifically says repairing or replacing the roof.
How does he get it?
He applies to the local authority. Now, what he could do is, if he could call us into one of the centres, we'll get the form for him, download it and go through it with him. If not, he can just go to the local authority, whichever local authority he's in, and ask for the application form for the housing aid for older people. And it's a fairly big form, but it's not that complicated. But mm-hmm. it is a big form. Mm. Yeah. But it is definitely available.
Good news, Benny.
Yes.
Nice one. A listener in Moat, who would rather remain anonymous, was in a car accident and will be out of work for at least 6 months. And she is wondering what benefits is she entitled to, given that she will be going back to work.
Well, the first of all, she should be applying for illness benefit, taking it that she has enough PRSI contributions mm-hmm. paid. All right. Now, she may also apply for injury benefit, and this is one of the benefits you get under the Occupational Injuries Benefit Scheme. And what that covers is people who had an accident at work or people who were travelling to work in an uninterrupted journey and have an accident. So if she had a car accident while she was going to work, she's covered under the Occupational Injuries Scheme because you're deemed to be at work mm-hmm. once you leave the house to travel to work.
Really?
Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah, so it depends.
Why did you say uninterrupted journey?
Because if you stopped and did the shopping, then you're not going to work. It's not a journey to work.
Hang on. So if you get up in the morning and you get a yes. coffee, for instance, on the way to the office.
Yes, it's an interrupted journey. You get into the car and you're going directly to work. You're going to work. You're not stopping. You're not going doing the shopping. You're not picking up the laundry. You're not. I suppose you could argue about the coffee, but if you're not, you're diverging to drop the kids off to school or something like that, because it's an interrupted journey. The journey then will start from wherever you,
Wherever you bought your coffee or whatever, exactly. dropped off the kids, as the case may be. Yeah. And
It's just the way the law is written. And right. In an uninterrupted journey. Is what it specifically says. I suppose it's to stop it. But by the way, I'm going to work here in the radio station, but I'm going to Dublin first, and I'm going to work, but I'm going to Dublin and then back here. You know, that's not an uninterrupted journey.
I might have had something to pick up in Dublin.
Yeah, well,
how do they prove otherwise?
Yeah. Now you're looking for a solicitor to come in and talk to you. Tease that one out with you.
Okay, anyway, so injury benefit.
Yeah, illness benefit first. Because they're out of work straight away. Mm-hmm. The doctor, what will happen is they go to the doctor. Doctor will give them a form to fill in. It's a booklet. And then the doctor will contact the social welfare themselves. And they'll send up their bit. And then they'll get a payment back for it. If it was an accident at work or going to work. And in the meantime, while they're waiting for it, they can apply for supplementary welfare. So if it takes a while for the payment to come back, they apply to the supplementary welfare.
Kathy is next. Her son is going to college in September and will be commuting. So is there any grant or fund or otherwise to cover the cost of the daily ticket?
This is one person I would say needs to contact the service too, because it's not that there's a lack of information, but there's a lot of information we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, is the son, yeah, is he going to a private college or is it a public college? You know what I mean? Because will he get the SUSE grant? Does he get the Back to Education grant? You know, there are various grants available. As such, there's no specific grant towards public transport. So, but the SUSE grant would normally cover that, depending on whether he was close or far away, how much he would get on that. And I heard on the radio this morning, they're talking about dropping the price of public transport
for what is 17 to 23 year olds or something like that, who are going to be commuting to college. Now, again, they're talking about that, and until it comes in,
wait until budget day.
It won't be in from the 1st of September.
Yeah, anyway.
So I would suggest to her to contact the service and go through the details, and we will help her.
We'll take one or two more. Tom in Port Arlington is wondering if the living alone allowance is paid automatically or do you need to apply for it?
I mean, it sounds strange, but it is definitely you have got to apply for it. They don't know.
That's true. You could have anybody living with you.
They don't know and you apply. So just it's a very simple application form. Either contact the service, we'll send them out the form, or he could drop in and get the form, or, you know, it's a straightforward form. Not that complicated.
No more girlfriends, Tom. Louise is living in an old cottage and is wondering what grants may be available for solar panels and to upgrade the heating system. We don't know Louise's age. I'm not sure if this is like the previous gentleman.
Yeah, it might not be. But if we take out the previous one, take it that she's not in the older person's age group, there is the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, SEAI for short. And if she goes on their website or again contacts one of the services, we will help her with it. There are grants available for upgrading your homes regarding energy efficiency. So definitely they are there. The one thing I would say to her is don't get it done before you apply for the grant, because they won't give it to you unless you've applied first, you've qualified for it, and then they will give you a list of people who will do it for them or for you. So
SEAI.ie.
SEAI, that's it.
One more. Pat in Athlone is suffering from long COVID and has taken sick leave from work but is finding it too difficult to return. So what benefits should he look at?
Well, Pat should be on the enhanced illness benefit. Now that finishes in September of this year. So after that, then he will be, if he's still not able to go back to work, he will then have to, you know, he'll be transferred over to the illness benefit if they deem him not to, you know, if they finish it. He can apply for additional needs payments outside of that. Like I was saying earlier, you know, if he has bills that are building up because he's out of work, which can happen, you know. But the government are very good at recently that they brought in this, they've really pushed this idea that additional needs are being brought into it by a lot of people, you know, being suffered by a lot of people. So they are there. So if he applies to, if he has these additional needs, and it can be anything from repairing a washing machine to repairing the heating system in the house or something like that, then he can apply for that. Yes.
Well, that's all we've time for. But if you need to talk to Tom or any of his colleagues, look up the Citizens Information Service in your area, citizensinformation.ie.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much, sir.
Take care.
And yourself.
Now, on the way, Ivan Yates, broadcaster and former Minister for Agriculture, predicts the makeup of the next government on That's Life with Brian Cunningham. You can tell me whether he's right or wrong. Tomorrow, I'll give you an update on those Westlife tickets and which deserving caller will receive them. And I'll also tell you more about those electric picnic tickets you can win. That's Friday's Midlands Today Show.